And so to our album reviews on this Friday evening. And there we were talking about Take That earlier on. Niall Horan was just 16 when he auditioned for the X Factor in 2010. And despite having achieved just third place with One Direction, sons of Take That in some ways, in the final, it did not stop them conquering the world. Now the band members pursue solo careers. Niall releases his third album today, a more mature sound with the title at any rate called The Show. Next up, Janelle Monáe, American singer, rapper and actress, acclaimed for her first three albums with a sense of adventure. Her latest release, The Age of Pleasure, is unashamedly an hedonistic affair, described in one reviewer as, quote, hazily intoxicated, a hazily intoxicating cocktail of sex and partying. And finally, I can hardly breathe after that, French singer Elio's Letizia, known to many fans as Christine and the Queens, releases album number 4 today, 9 years since the widely acclaimed debut Chaleur Humaine. There's a gig planned for the RDS in November to support this album. The album is called Paranoia, Angels, True Love. Kind of a three-part title, three-part album. Andrea Cleary and Brian Boyd have been listening to the albums. They're with me in studio this evening. Let's start close to home. Mullingar Man, Niall Horan. The Show is the title of the album, and here's a track called Meltdown. When it all melts down, I'll be there.
Talking to yourself in the bathroom, losing your mind in the mirror like you have to.
Little taste of Meltdown there from The Show, new album from Niall Horan and Andrea Cleary and Brian Boyd, as I said, our reviewers on this Friday evening. This is Niall Horan's third studio. I feel like I can call him Niall because he really does feel like the fella next door. It's hard to dislike him. But like the previous albums, you know, that song is 2.5 minutes long. We heard about a minute and a half of it there. Clean as a wisp. You know what you're getting when you start it up, Brian.
And there's four professional songwriters making that 2 minutes and 31 seconds.
Yeah.
The problem with this album is I came out of it not knowing a thing about Niall Horan or what he stood for or what he wanted to express. The guy has stories, plucked off the streets of Mullingar, becomes a member of one of the biggest boy bands in history. There's no stories here. There's no. The two singles are very slick. They're very, you could put any vocalist on those. That's the problem with it. It's very generic. You could put me as a vocalist and auto-tune me on those two singles and it'd be a hit. The really strange thing here with Niall Horan in this album is that with his last album, when he toured it, he played theatres. Mm. With this album, he's going out on a world tour and he's playing arenas. Now, this is why we've seen a three-line whip by his record company in recent weeks. He's been on the front cover of every single... The record company are going, Niall needs to play arenas, he needs to sell seats, and they've imposed a three-line whip on the media and there's been all these fawning interviews. The guy has nothing to say. I'm sure he's a lovely guy. He's very little musical ability. He would not have a record deal if he looked like me, Sean.
But he can sing now, in fairness.
Yes, he has a good voice there,
Andrea. As a former directioner, I will tell you that not only can Niall sing, he was the only member of that band who could play the guitar during the One Direction years.
And you are not, famously, as far as my memory goes, not a big fan of the singer-songwriter, guitar player, young male.
No, and I'm suitably torn because I really, with all my heart, wish Niall all the best. And I do call him Niall. But look, yes, I think he basically doesn't really let us in here. And I absolutely agree with Brian that there are stories to be told. And even just, you know, maybe a bit of a reckoning with fame or his version of fame that he seems to have carved out for himself that is largely absent here. This is a kind of a pleasant enough album where he tries to hit a sweet spot between kind of heartfelt guitar and piano ballads and sing-along hits. And in that sense, he's succeeded. But we don't really get a sense of the guy himself.
Yeah, because I mean, I've seen interviews with Niall Horan in recent times. Maybe I'm thinking a couple of years back. Maybe it was with the last album. And you got a sense of this honest to God young man who actually cared about stuff and had strong opinions on certain things. You want to hear some of that in the songs.
He's very grounded. He's very down to earth. He's very personable. He's got, as I said, he's got this great story from Mullingar to a global globetrotting guy.
Tell us a bit of it.
And also, if you're going to, if you live in the musical shadow of Harry Styles, his ex-bandmate, why release an anemic Harry Styles sound? all these songs here. Some of the songwriters who write for Harry Styles write for Niall Horan.
On the
album.
Weekend, Harry Styles is slain, isn't he?
Tomorrow.
Yeah. So, I mean, he had a chance to go out and do something individual, even eccentric, because, you know, all the One Direction money is behind Harry Styles commercially. Niall had a chance to actually do something, even like an acoustic album, a covers album. He's just released an anemic version of Harry Styles.
All right, let's have a little bit of a listen to If You Leave Me, just to round up. You Leave Me, the title of that song from Niall Horan from the new album, The Show. So, Andrea, I presume you're heading to Slane, by the way, tomorrow night, are you?
I absolutely am. And I'll be crossing my fingers that Mr. Horan will make a little appearance.
Well, the songs that you heard in this album, because you hadn't, as Brian was saying, out in this big stadium tour, this big arena tour, has he got the songs that will fill that type of space?
Well, I think, funnily enough, there's a song on this, or actually it's If You Leave Me as well as Save My Life. I think in particular, If You Leave Me sounds like it could be on Harry's House, which is Harry Styles' latest album, and Save My Life is a really nice kind of surprise with these kind of shimmering synths and 80s electric guitars that I think would have been a really nice direction for him to go in. But I mean, look, if he just walks out and waves at us, I'll be
delighted.
You'll
be happy. Yeah. But you do have to give a star rating to this album, and you have to be objective.
I will. Look, I know we've been kind of sticking the boot in a bit, but I do think overall there's really nice vocal performances on this album, and he's started out as a vocalist, and I think his voice has only gotten better. The songwriting isn't there, it is bland. So I'm going to go with 2.5 stars.
Two and a half. What are you saying, Brian?
Just to put it in context, what he's trying to do with this album is to go from playing Olympia, Dublin Olympia type shows to Dublin 3 Arena type shows. Wrong album. Nice guy, hopeless album. Two stars,
not happy, clearly. Right, that is The Show from Niall Horan, and let's hope he does give a little appearance at Slane for you, Andrea, just for you tomorrow night. And that'll be for giving him that extra half, possibly. Now, Janelle Monáe, singer, writer, artist, non-binary, Afrofuturist and an actor. Recently we saw in the film The Glass Onion. This is with her third album. This current album is her third album, The Age of Pleasure. And this is a track called Phenomenal. No, it's not a track called Phenomenal. This is a track called Lipstick Lover.
Lipstick lover, 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 lover. My lipstick lover, lover, lover. I like lipstick on my neck. You let me know I'm your number one select. I like lipstick on my neck. Hands around my waist so you know what's coming next. I wanna feel your lips on mine.
Lipstick Lover from Janelle Monáe and her album called The Age of Pleasure. I mean, The Age of Pleasure says it all. And if you listen closely to those lyrics, I'm sure there are all sorts of coded references in those lyrics that I don't understand.
There's a lot of pleasure going on in that album.
Yeah, very hard to find a lyric that you could play from the album. In fact, I did say Phenomenal, but you couldn't play Phenomenal on lots of the tracks on this
very
album.
Very sensuous, very graphic, explicit. But no harm in that. But this isn't really an album. It's 30 minutes. And there's 14 songs. So you get like 1 minute songs. The whole idea about this, and I actually like the idea, it's Janelle Monáe saying, you know what, I've done all this acting, I've done all this thing, and I've released these amazing albums. And she is a great musician. Mm. She's inspired by Prince, and she really carries his torch musically with her funk and her rock. But she said with this album deliberately, look, I'm going to release an album all about pleasure. It's going to be very positive. It's very good. It's going to be very upbeat. What we're getting is basically a pool party soundtrack. I mean, you could hear the reggae there and, you know, you hear vintage funk. It's all very one dimensional in that respect. I don't think she wants this to be taken seriously as an album as such. It's her with an interlude going, I'm just going to do a nice, relaxing, fun, sensuous bordering on the explicit. You really do feel like you're at a pool party. You're knocking back drinks. The vibes are fantastic.
And the further the album goes on, the riskier it gets in some ways.
The alcohol intake. So from that context, yes, it's a great piece of work. From the context of, does it work as an album? Not really.
Musically, what's she doing here? And we should point out, because I did say she's not a non-binary Afrofuturist. She goes with either the she pronoun or the they pronoun. Andrea, musically, what is she doing here? They are short. They are. Is there a tune here you couldn't dance to? I don't think there is.
No, definitely not. And I agree that this shouldn't really be taken as an album in the same way that, say, Beyoncé's Renaissance was a celebration of kind of queer identities. But she stress tested these songs at parties for her friends. Now, the parties that Janelle Monáe goes to are the Met Gala after party. So it's not not your Dublin house
party.
Exactly, yeah. And she had the stipulation that if the songs can't work at the party, they're not going on the album. And she wanted it, she says, to be specific to a Pan-African crowd who are her friends, and wanted it to be a love letter to the diaspora. So there is a kind of wide-ranging kind of sounds here, but they do fit together quite well. A lot of the songs are very short.
Yeah.
It's kind of like she got a hook into her head and just laid it down and didn't spend much more time with it than she needed to. And I think that's fine. In terms of an album, it can be a little bit frustrating because some of these songs I would like to hear like a 4, 5, 6 minute kind of
version of it.
But
it's so dramatic, so theatrical, I suppose, in some of them. She is a very theatrical performer. I kind of wanted that aspect of it. Dare I say, I wouldn't have minded a concept album here.
I wouldn't have minded it either. I came away from this wanting more from this sound and wanting to kind of dive into the idea of the art of pleasure and not just kind of hear songs describing pleasure, but, you know, Janelle Monáe is an artist who really investigates these topics. And I thought that investigation or that unpicking was missing from this album.
Yeah, I'm going to play it. It's a kind of a cover version, this really, isn't it? Only of Eyes 42, it's written down as, but Only of Eyes 42 is obviously what we're dealing with here.
I like to love with my eyes closed. I try not to lead with my ego.
I like that version of Only Have Eyes 42 from Janelle Monáe and her current album, The Age of Pleasure. Overall, what are you saying, Brian, and stars?
That's the first time I've heard steel drums on any album I've reviewed on Arena. I love hearing those steel drums. They put you in a very sort of summery mood. It's a very good album for what it is. 3 stars only because it's a disposable party album. I'm not being po-faced about it, but I'm just thinking in the overall narrative arc of Janelle Monáe's career, this will be seen as just, and then she did this disposable album.
Yeah, and I'm always saying here, put less on the album, but in this case, you wanted more on the album. Yeah. So what are you saying here, Andrea?
I think if this album was released by anybody other than Janelle Monáe, we might be having a different conversation. But because the back catalogue is there, because everything she's done so far has been so strong, we have the right sort of context for this. And I do also think that if we start dissecting fun too much, we'll kind of forget how to
There'll
have
be
it.
No fun.
So I'm going to say 3.5.
From you on this one. That's Janelle Monáe, The Age of Pleasure. Let's move on then to our final album. French singer Elio's Laetitia, known to many fans as Christine and the Queens, releases album number 4 today, 9 years since the widely acclaimed debut, Chaleur Humaine. New album is called Paranoia Angels True Love. Christine and the Queens, much anticipated tour coming to the RTS in November. Again, we've got a pronoun question to clear up in the case of Christine and the Queens. Brian?
Uses he.
Uses he as what?
Well, asks us to use
he. Asks us to use
he. We need to respect the decision of the artist.
Let us do as he asks. So who are we talking about when we talk about Christine and the Queens?
electro-pop artist that really came to prominence in 2014 with a series of fantastic synthy, poppy, bouncy singles. But his real strength is like sort of a Kate Bush or a Bjork. He has pushed the boundaries of what pop music is. Essentially, he is a pop musician. I mean, there are melodies aplenty here, but always he's looking to push the boundaries, to break the conventions. This is a remarkable piece of work. It helps to know that it's very loosely based on a very famous Broadway play from the 1980s called Angels in America, which was Tony Kushner's seven-and-a-half-hour play. Mm. Now, that piece of theatre itself broke a lot of the conventions on Broadway. It dealt with how the AIDS epidemic impacted on New York, the New York gay community. And that play in itself has given Chris an idea that you could somehow be inspired by this. This is really a piece of work of musical theatre. It's an hour and a half.
Yeah.
It's not now. Most albums, Sean, are 40 minutes. This is 90 minutes.
It's really it's not quite a triple album, but it's a three-part album
in some ways. It's very much
three-part. Let's have a listen to a track, and this is from the first part. The three parts being Paranoia, Angels, and True Love. From the first part of the album, then, this is a track called Tears Can Be So Soft. Tears Can Be So Soft, the second track, in fact, on the album Paranoia, Angels and True Love from Christine and the Queens. And I was saying, Andrea, as we were listening to that, I wanted way more time with this album. Mm. Part of the reason was that I don't know how many times I listened to that track, but I kept going back to listen to it because it really pulled me in. But you really need time for this album, this three-part album.
You do. I mean, any time that we gained with Janelle Monáe's short album, we certainly made up for this week with Christine and the Queens. That song in particular, I think, is a highlight on that album. It reminds me of Massive Attack. It reminds me of Bjork. But it's also very much him and himself, you know, dealing with, well...
Death of his mother.
Grief is a very, very big part of this album. Chris lost his mother in, I think, 2018, 2019, and has been going on this sort of journey to do with, obviously, Angels with the play, but there's also, you know, there's guest spots from Madonna here, who plays a kind of a disembodied, like a character of a disembodied mother figure. It's... like sometimes it's like a rock opera. It's amazing.
However, and maybe this is a case of needing more time with it. You know, does it all work, or is there any were there sections on there, Brian, where you thought, well, maybe you could lose that and make it a bit shorter?
This could have collapsed like a bad souffle from within. So the themes. I mean, she's going from the elegiac to the joyful. Mm. He's going from all these themes, and this could have collapsed from within, but he holds it all together, and it's almost a hallucinogenic journey you're going on, and you really have to. It's just from the very first song, you're sort of going, his voice is just a thing of wonder. It's a thing of beauty. And it's very rare that you'll get, I mean, Chris has released these beautiful synth pop, almost like Aha type singles, and they're wonderful. But this is like a significant artistic achievement. And just very quickly, it reminds me of one of the most famous Irish musicians, Phil Chevron, who brought theatre into music and best known for Ghost Town with the Raiders. Four and a half. A great artistic achievement.
Great artistic achievement. What are you saying overall, Andrea?
I think it's a long album. It doesn't all quite work for me, but that's not to say that it won't work for me in the future.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I've been listening to it for about a week now. Every time I listen to it, I like it more. There's one track in particular that feels a bit cheesy to me, which uses the kind of the Canon and D.
Pachelbel Canon.
I just didn't like, but it's going to be 4 stars.
Four stars from you. So pretty high scoring indeed there for Christine and the Queens. Paranoia, Angels, True Love, the title of that album. Janelle Monáe's The Edge of Pleasure, Niall Horan's The Show, the previous two albums from Andrea Cleary and Brian Boyd on this Friday evening.